in the future as the Lord directs. And it's just entitled, there's a phrase in Deuteronomy chapter 34 down there in verse 7. And it talks about the eye of Moses being undimmed, him having an undimmed eye and him having unabated vigor. And I want us to talk about that today. And so you guys know, sometimes preachers get in that preaching mode and we hear it that way Sunday after Sunday. And we sometimes think, well, they're manufacturing another sermon, they're manufacturing another message. And I really try not to approach the word of the Lord in that fashion. But I am telling you, this is a deep truth, what we're going to be dealing with today and then over the next couple of messages. It's really a deep truth that the Lord is burning on my heart as a man, as a father, as a husband. And it's a really deep truth that the Lord's burdening my heart for our church family for. I've been here now 10 and a half years, working on my 11th year, and I've seen our church go through a tremendous transition. Those that were once young or middle-aged are not so young or middle-aged anymore, moving into retirement age. Those who were at one time senior adults and enjoying early retirement or retirement, some have already gone on to be with the Lord. We are a church that's transitioning. The Lord's continually to bring new families into our midst, young families who are having babies. They're having lots of babies. That's a good thing. Can I get an amen? Having lots and lots of children, and that's a good thing. We are seeing our young people being saved. We'll see Haley Bunch be baptized here, Lord willing, in just a little while of time. And she's just one of a long list of young people out of our children's ministry, out of our student ministry, that are coming to faith in Christ. We're really excited about that. We're excited about what God is doing. But in the midst of that, I want to make sure that we transition well and we don't miss, that we're not foolish and miss what the Lord is doing in our midst. And so therefore, I today am probably going to be speaking more out of an overflow and a testimony of this passage, because I believe it is such a word to our hearts today and really over the next couple of weeks. And so the message is just entitled, Undimmed Eyes and Unabated Vigor. I don't know about you, but that's the way, when the Lord calls me home, that's the way I want to die. I want to die with an eye that's undimmed, an eye that is an eye of faith more so than it's ever been, an eye on the Lord like it's never, ever been. I want to pass with unabated vigor. I don't want to wear out or quit or someone say, well, he just couldn't run anymore. I want to just run until I just run all the way to glory, right? The Lord just take you from here over there. And I don't want to just wear out. I want to live the kind of life that Moses lived and so many saints of the Lord lived. And I want to die the way Moses died and the way so many of the saints of the Lord died. It's really the death of a life that's spent with God. If you want to pass from this life to eternal life with the Lord, and you want to do that with undimmed eye and unabated vigor, it's really a testimony of a life or a death that is really marked by a life that has been just spent with God. Here's another way you could say about today's message, what we're going to be reading. It's really the epitaph of Moses' life. Have you ever read an epitaph on a tombstone? Have you ever read something that was put in a funeral home flyer that commemorates and memorializes a person's life and their passing? I hope that it would not only be my desire, but all of our desire to leave this place, planet Earth, better than we found it, right? I pray that God would use us to make a difference in the generations that that are coming after us. I pray that God would use us in mighty ways. Men, every man of God, I'm going to single you out right now. Every man of God, would you stand to your feet right now? If you are a man and you're a born-again believer, would you stand to your feet? Men, I'm calling you out today. I'm calling myself out today that God would so use us to impact the next generation, that he would use us to impact our wives, that he would use us to impact our children and our grandchildren, that it would be able to be said of us, that was a man who lived a life spent with God and he died in faith. Men, are you up to that challenge? I don't want a hearty amen. I want a sobering contemplation of that. Are you ready for that challenge? Are you ready for God to grip your heart and your life in such a way? I pray and hope to God that you are. You may be seated this morning. I think it's just imperative that we realize this uniqueness, this time, this gift that God has given us. What a precious gift life really is. If you believe that, would you say amen? I mean, and so let's follow the Lord and allow him to use us in ways that bring him honor, that bring him glory, that make much of Christ, and that's a real legacy for those who come behind us and after us. And so I'm just going to begin reading in verse 1, Deuteronomy 34, the death of Moses, and then the epitaph of Moses. What's incredible about this writing, and we know that Moses is probably not writing these final chapters, that it's probably Joshua that's penning these words, because after all, Moses was going to be hard for him to write some of the things that are happening here. But I want you to notice what's happening in this passage. 12 verses, and the first picture you get of Moses is that the writer of Deuteronomy is allowing us to see Moses looking out. God is blessing Moses' life in an incredible way, and he's able to give him a glimpse of the future, and he looks out, and his heart is greatly encouraged. And then when you read down through there and you get to verse 9, you see Moses being portrayed as a man whose life was spent looking up. He's interceding, praying for that next successor, praying for that man who would follow him, praying for the next generation who would be able to go into the promised land. And then you see this picture in verses 11 and 12 of Moses being able to look back. It's a picture of what God had done in Moses' life. Are y'all listening? Are you listening? That is really what we want to be able to be said of us. That when people look at our life, they can say, you know what? That person lived with an eye on God and the future that God had for them. That those people, men and women, those boys and girls, those young and old, they lived with an eye on the Lord, looking up, praying and interceding to God, trusting God for all of their life. And you know what? They lived a life looking back in celebration and with thanksgiving and with great gratitude in their hearts for what God had accomplished in our life. Aren't you thankful for those who have gone before us? If you are, would you say amen? I was yesterday morning in the hospital and I was ready to go to a baseball tournament in Edmonton. And so I'm in the hospital and I'm praying with Joe and Dorthine. And you all know Miss Dorthine is suffering from a terrible disease that allows her not to know everything like she once knew those things. In a time of a broken hip, I'm sort of thankful that she was like that. I said, Miss Dorthine, I hate that you're in the hospital. And she said, Pastor, I'm not in the hospital. And I said, all right, then you're not in the hospital, right? And I thought the Lord was sort of merciful to her in that situation. But when I left the hospital on my way to home to get the family, I just thought to myself, you know, our church is going through such incredible transition. And I am praying that the Lord would allow us to see two things. One, he would allow us to look out and see the future that the Lord has for us as a faith family. Two, that he would allow us just to keep our eyes on him as we consider what he's going to be doing in our midst and already is doing. and three, that we'll look back on people's lives, whether we're talking about Ronnie Ward, and Shirley, I'm not going to speak much about that because I love you and I do not want to play with your emotions, but whether we're talking about a Ronnie Ward or someone else who has been here and who has served faithfully, whether we're talking about a Joe or a Dorothy, whether we're talking about a whole list of people who have been here and they have loved the Lord and they have served the Lord and they've given their life for that the kingdom would be advancing. They've believed in the gospel. They've shared their faith. They have made visits. They have sent people overseas. Whatever that looks like, I am grateful for men and women who said, God first, and I want God to use me in my life. If you're thankful for people like that, would you give the Lord an amen? And so let's read this, and then I'm going to share really just four quick thoughts, and then we're going to transition into Lord's Supper. Then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo to the top of Pisgah, which is opposite Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land, Gilead as far as Dan, Naphtali, the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the Negeb and the plain, that is, the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, as far as Zoar. And the Lord said to Moses, this is the land of which I swore to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. I will give it to your offspring. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you shall not go over there. So Moses is on one side of Jordan, right? And he's looking over into the promised land. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the valley in the land of Moab opposite Beth-peor. But no one knows the place of his burial to this day. Moses was 120 years old. Can I get an amen? Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was undimmed and his vigor unabated. That means his strength was intact. I'm not going to touch on this. In the Hebrew, are you ready? In the Hebrew, this is saying that at 120, Moses could bear children. That's what that means. He had strength and vigor. And the people of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab for 30 days. Then the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the people of Israel obeyed him, Joshua, and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. And there has not arisen a prophet since in Israel, like Moses, watch this phrase, whom the Lord knew face to face. None like him, for all the signs and the wonders that the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all of his servants and to all of his land, and for all the mighty power and all the great deeds of terror that Moses did in the sight of all of Israel, and that means in the wilderness. So as they look back on Moses' life, they say, man, God used him in Egypt dealing with Pharaoh and dealing with those Egyptians, and God used him in the wilderness as he was being led to lead and to provide and to guide the Israelites there in the wilderness. A life lived that will be missed when it is gone is a life spent with and for God. Who are you living for this morning? And what are you living for this morning? The presence of the Lord at work in Moses' life enabled him to have a life that was not only pleasing to God, but a death that was glorious and that was honoring to Christ, honoring to God. This idea that the Lord gave Moses incredible life and the Lord gave Moses incredible strength was a life well lived because it was a life lived in the presence of the Lord. And so here is what I want you to see this morning, what I really believe the Holy Spirit wants us to see this morning. The presence of the Lord allows us to live a life for the Lord and allows us to leave a legacy and a testimony of God's greatness, mercy, and grace to others that we see. First of all, the Lord's presence encourages us. If you're taking notes, you should write that down. The Lord's presence at work in our life, He encourages us. How vitally important that is if we're going to live a life well for the Lord. We need to be encouraged by the presence of the Lord. The Lord was encouraging to Moses. He encouraged Moses in a couple of different ways. He allowed Moses to see the land. A matter of fact, when you see here, and it says, and he says to Moses, I will give it to your offspring. I have let you see it with your eyes, there in verse 4, but you shall not go over there. This is not the first time that Moses is allowed to climb up on an exceedingly high mountain and look over into the promised land. A matter of fact, when you trace the life of Moses in the book of Deuteronomy, you see a phrase like that, that God took Moses up to a mountain and allowed him to look over, to look forward, to see what God was doing and going to do in the life of the Israelites. You see it in Deuteronomy 3:27. You see it in Deuteronomy 32:52. You see it here in Deuteronomy 34:4. You see it a couple of different times in the book of Exodus. You see that several different times where God brings Moses to the edge of Jordan. He allows him to look out to where God is ultimately going to be leading the offspring of Moses. And you know what he says to Moses? Every time he says, Moses, I want you to look. This is the land that I have promised. This is the land that your people are going to inherit. Moses saw the land. Now, a casual reading of this is going to discourage us because we're going to say, well, why didn't he allow Moses to go on over, right? Why didn't he allow Moses to just travel on over with Joshua? If Moses was so faithful for all those years in the wilderness, why didn't he just allow Moses to go on over? Some people read it and say it's a sad commentary. God is not real merciful and kind because he led Moses to do all of these great things, but the land that was overflowing with milk and honey, Moses only got to see, he never got to taste. But I want to say to you, God is always faithful and merciful. He's always faithful and merciful in multiple ways. See, there is a Hebrew principle that's going to help us understand this idea of Moses being led to the Jordan. He looks over and he sees the land. Do you remember when Jesus is sharing a parable and he talks about this man who needed to go and look at land, and we read that parable in the New Testament and we think to ourselves, why in the world would a man purchase a piece of land without looking at it, right? And we think that's just completely crazy and that's completely odd. Well, the Hebrew tradition, I want you to listen to this close. The Hebrew tradition was this, that a legal land transfer was actually secured by the viewing and the inspection of the land. And so here, when the Lord is allowing Moses on multiple opportunities to go up and look into the promised land, here is what he was saying to Moses. Moses, this is your land. Moses, this is the land that I have promised not only to you, but I promised to Abraham, I promised to Isaac, and I promised to Jacob, and I am giving you this land. And somebody would say, Moses never got to see that land. Well, what about in Matthew chapter 17 on the Mount of Transfiguration? When Jesus takes the inner circle of his disciples up on that Mount of Transfiguration, and do you remember what happens there? There is this huge transfiguration of the Lord, and his disciples look up, and who do they see standing there talking with Jesus in the promised land? Elijah and Moses. One who represented the law, Moses, one who represented the prophets, and that is Elijah. And the Matthew's commentary is this, that Jesus was just talking with them. And he was just interacting with them. I would say to you today that Moses not only got to see the land, but Moses got to inherit the land. You say, preacher, what does that have to do with us? Well, there's a tremendous spiritual principle there, and it is this: not everything which is given to us as believers do we take immediate possession of. Are you listening? If you are, say amen. This is the fallacy of the prosperity charismatic gospel. Listen, do not be deceived by it. When people say to you, you have perfect health, claim it now. I've had a person say to me at one time, preacher, you're not really fat, you just think you're fat. And I think to myself, well, if I'm not really fat, I've got my family fooled, I've got the doctor's fooled, I've got the scales fooled, I have got everybody fooled. I am telling you, when I look in a mirror, I know what I am. Can I get an amen? And so people say, you really have this body that's a picture of health. It's just yours to claim. And then you hear people say like this, we're no longer sinners. We can live these sinless, perfected lives. Our relationships can be perfect. We can have unlimited prosperity. And I want to say to you, that is a poor understanding of the gospel. Not everything God promises us do we acquire immediately. Are y'all all right with that? A matter of fact, and I don't have a ton of time, but here's the way Peter says it. Peter said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Watch this. To an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. Watch this. That is kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, my brothers and sisters, what God has for you tomorrow and next week and next year and when we stand before him in eternity in glory is far, far better than what we currently know and realize. Do you believe that? If you do, say amen. Absolutely, it's far, far better. Moses saw the land. He heard the promise. He heard the Lord say, Moses, this is the land that I swore to give to Abraham. And I swore to give it to Isaac. And I swore to give it to Jacob. He heard the promise of the Lord. How blessed we are when the Lord encourages us through his word. And he allows us to hear sermon after sermon, message after message, quiet time after quiet time, as we're just flipping through the pages. And God is speaking to our hearts through a devotion, through his word, through a passage that we're reading. God is so faithful to encourage us. Are you being encouraged in the Lord? Because if you're going to live a life that makes a difference and you're going to die with an undimmed eye and unabated vigor, you need to know that God is for you and he is not against you. That God has things in store for us that are far better than what we've experienced, and he is faithful to his promise. If you believe that, would you say amen? God encourages us. He encouraged Moses. But I want you to look at the second thing. The Lord disciplined Moses. Now we get to see why Moses didn't get to go in to the promised land. You say, you mean to tell me, Pastor, that if I'm going to live a life that makes a difference, that I'm going to endure the discipline of the Lord? And I'd say to you, absolutely, you will. And I will. I can remember being a little boy and my mom disciplining me because I was being abusive to an animal and her dog, her little dog. And I mean, my mom wore me out. And she not only wore me out because of what I was doing to this little dog, but she told my dad, called him, There were no cell phones in that time. He had to get off of a hoist truck, go answer the phone in the Manning foreman's office. And my dad hated to talk on the phone. And my mom told him, with me, my knees knocking in the kitchen as she was on the phone, "This is what Randy's done to your little dog." And my dad said something to her like, "Wear him out." Must have, because she said, "I already have. You're going to get him when you come home." And I was just terrified for the rest of the afternoon. I thought, I've done got it once and I'm going to get it again. Listen to this. I was not looking forward to the discipline that I was going to receive. I found mercy from my dad. Can I get an amen? By the time he got home, Mom had done cooled off. He was fine, and I didn't take a second whipping. I think there's probably a law about that, that probably somehow, I'm praying there was. But can I say to you, when I look back on that, I think I'm really grateful they did that, because I could have probably really tortured that dog and may have enjoyed it in my lost nature and went around torturing dogs. And then maybe I'd have enjoyed it so much that I would have started sometime torturing my sister. I think I would have really enjoyed that, right? Who knows where that would have led? I was not looking forward to that discipline. And when Moses blew it, right? When the people of Israel needed water, and he was at that rock, and the Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the rock." This is an incredibly stressful time in Moses' life. The people are living in disobedience. They're blaming Moses for them being thirsty without food. "What are you doing leading us in this wilderness? You're going to lead us to die out here." And they said, "We need water," right? And they started to taste the water, and the water was bitter. And the Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the rock, and out of the rock is going to flow fresh water, not bitter water." And do you remember what Moses did? He doesn't speak to the rock, but he takes that staff that he raised when the seas were parted, and he smacks that rock. And he not only hits that rock, but he does it in anger and hostility, and he hits it again. The boys and I were changing tires on a trailer. I'm not a mechanic. And I took the wheels off and had it sort of semi-jacked up on a grass, and it had rained, and so the ground had got soft, and the weight of the trailer had made everything shift. So me and the boys are trying to raise this trailer up so I can get this tire back on there and then get the other tire back on there. And in my frustration with all three or four boys around, I hauled off and I kicked that tire. And I was just like Moses, I kicked it a second time. And I hurt my foot the second time. Don't you men look at me like, "I can't believe you did that." Every one of you men have done something like that at some time or another. If you have, will you raise your hand? I know you have. And I just thought to myself, this doggone tire, right? That's where Moses was at. But listen, Moses wasn't mad at himself. Moses was beginning to question the Lord, and he was mad at the people. And so maybe it was his anger that kept him out of the land. Maybe it was his impatience because he doesn't strike the rock once but twice. Maybe it's his arrogance, because as this story is untold in Numbers 20:10, you know what he says? He says to these people, "Must we bring you water from this rock? You mean to tell me that it's flowing with good water and you won't even come drink it? You mean to tell me that you not only want the rock to bring forth good water, but you want us to bring the water to you? Do you hear, Moses?" I mean, he is angry. Maybe it was his pride, because Moses, in his right spirit and mind, would have never said, "Do we need to bring you water?" Moses would have said, Does he need to bring you water, right? But Moses, in all this arrogance and pride, he says, "No, do me and the Lord have to bring you water?" And then maybe most of all, what we see really in Deuteronomy 32, if you said, "Where are you getting this?" Deuteronomy 32, verse 51 and 52 makes it plain why Moses didn't get to go over into the land. Maybe it is his irreverence that kept him out. He did not honor God, right, is what the scripture says, as holy. That means this. He did not represent the Lord well. And you say, well, is that a good thing that you're saying, preacher? Here's what I'm saying. I'm saying that God was gracious and merciful to Moses. Because at that time that Moses was irreverent to God, God could have withdrew his presence from Moses, but he didn't. He used Moses to lead those people in tremendous, tremendous ways. He was long-suffering with his prophet Moses. He loved Moses in incredible, incredible ways. If you and I will live lives that will endure and leave a lasting testimony for the Lord, are you listening? We must endure the discipline of the Lord. We must be able to bear witness and say, God is faithful when I'm living well and when I'm living disobediently. God is faithful. Do you believe that? If you do, say amen. He encourages us. He disciplines us. He equips us. The Lord equipped Moses. He gave him these physical resources. 120 years old. His eyes are undimmed, and his vigor, his strength is unabated. He's not lacking anything. I mean, God really blessed him physically. I am thankful that God equips us with the very strength that's necessary to accomplish whatever task or ministry that he's calling us to. So when you think about, I don't even know if I can be a faithful husband or a faithful wife, faithful mom, faithful dad. I don't know if I can be a faithful servant of the Lord. I want to say to you that if God is working in your heart and life, if he has saved you, what God's called you to, he is faithful to give you that strength. God gave Moses not only physical strength, he gave him spiritual strength. Verse 10, and there has not risen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. This was Moses' daily intimacy going into the tabernacle with the Lord. And I mean, Israel is at a disobedient place. They're not inhabiting the land. And here's, watch this. Here's what God does with Moses. He takes him right in, and every day he gives Moses the opportunity to be in his presence. Is your job tough? Is the demands of life on your back and on your mind, and you think, I don't know if I'm going to be able to accomplish this? Do you know what we need? We need to be equipped with the presence of the Lord. We need to daily sojourn in the tabernacle in God's presence. We need to be able to hear his word. We need to be able to hear the Lord say to us, I am not against you, but I am for you, and I am at work in your life, whether you see how I'm at work or whether you don't see how I'm at work. This is our daily prayer time and meditation time and quiet time. This is where we are alone with the Lord, and we're finding that God is incredibly faithful to bless us physically and to bless us spiritually. And I don't have time, but when you read this passage, you see that God blessed Moses and the Israelites all the time when they're in the wilderness. There's a passage of scripture that said the whole time, right, that you were sojourning in the wilderness, he says, your clothes never tore and your sandals never wore out, right? They never were lacking for something to eat because God provided for them. God gave them all that they possibly needed. I want to say something. Are you listening this morning? If you are, say amen. You may be here and you may be thinking, I just don't know that I'm gifted to do that. I don't know if I'm equipped enough to do that. I don't know if I have the ability or the time or the energy or the effort. And I want you to listen to what I'm about to say. Every faithful man or woman of God has uttered those same words. I don't know if I have time. I don't know if I have energy. I don't know if I have strength. I don't know if I have ability. Do you remember when God called Moses, what he tried to do with the Lord? He said, Lord, I can't what? I can't speak. Every faithful servant of the Lord that's used mightily, listen to what I'm about to say, says, Lord, you have to equip me. I can't possibly do what you're calling me to do unless you equip me. And then lastly, in verse 9, you see the Lord equips Moses. He disciplines Moses. He encourages Moses. And he replaces Moses. He replaces Moses. You say, well, that's a bad thing. Oh, no. It's a great, great thing. Verse 9, when it says, and Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid hands on him. So the people of Israel obeyed Joshua, and they did as the Lord had commanded Moses. Moses did not wear out, nor did he give out. He did not just simply retire or quit. This is what Piper tweeted about this passage of scripture back in March sometime. He was reading this in his quiet time, and he came across undimmed eyes and unabated vigor. And this is what Piper said. Piper said that it wasn't that Moses played out or wore out. It was that it was time for Joshua. It was time for Joshua. It is vitally important for us to know that serving the Lord faithfully until he is through with us is a gift from God, and it takes us abiding in his presence. It calls us to recognize when a life stage is through, and trusting God's grace and wisdom is essential. It is imperative that we watch this. Just as Moses trusted what God was doing in Joshua, it's imperative that we trust what God is doing in that generation that is coming after us. And then we say, it's time for my replacement. There is someone that the Lord has raised up. There is someone that the Lord has worked in. There is someone that God is moving in mighty ways. And God is going to continue his kingdom and continue to bring Jesus much glory and honor. I'm really thankful that as I think about how and who will replace me someday, first I think about my boys, and I think about how they're already outpacing their dad in so many ways. I watch Jake on the baseball field, and I'm yelling out yesterday, sweet hands, sweetest hands out there. Kids older, kids stopping every ball, hot shots at third base, and he's stopping everything, and I'm just thinking, I never could do that. I just never could do that. I think about Levi. Levi's learning to drive. Can I get an O-me? Levi's already a better driver than his dad. Levi is already, he's our risk taker. That's not good when I'm talking about driving, but it's good when I'm talking about serving the Lord. His faith is so much greater than mine. This morning he said, okay, here's my mowing money. He said, here's what I made. He said, here's my tithe. And I said, well, put it in an envelope. He said, I don't have one. And I said, well, get one from your mama. And he said, okay, I'm going to do that. I didn't tell him to do that. I can tell you this, when I was 16, I wasn't tithing. I just wasn't doing it. Caleb, Kerr, those guys are outpacing me. Those two guys are walking in purity that I did not know as a 18, 19, 20, and 21-year-old man. These guys are outpacing me. They're all smarter than me, right? They get that from their mama. They're not better looking than me yet, right? I'm going to make sure you're listening. I think about these young guys that are coming after us. I think about people like Justin and Brian. I look at Grant back there, Scott, maybe not Nick. Nick's got a long way to go, but I think about these young guys that are coming up, and I think, you know what? The Lord's at work in these guys' lives. They're trying to be godly husbands, and these young ladies are trying to be godly wives. They're trying to raise godly children. And I think, man, the future is really bright. Now, I want you to listen. Are you listening, church? It is the enemy and the media and pride that screams, "It ain't like it used to be." No, it's probably a lot better than it used to be. God is faithful. If you believe that, would you say amen? Would you stand to your feet? And as you do, would you just be willing to pray as we prepare our hearts for the Lord's table? Would you just pray and say, "Lord, will you encourage me? Lord, will you discipline me? God, will you equip me? God, will you ultimately replace me with a generation that far exceeds my faithfulness to you? Will you say, Holy Spirit, I need you as I come to celebrate the life and death and burial and resurrection of Christ, as I come before this sacred ordinance of the church and I remember the body that was offered for me and I remember the blood that was shed for me. Oh Lord, will you allow me to live a legacy of a life spent with God, so that one day when you call me to your presence, I can also, or it could be said of me, you know what? He not only, or she not only lived in faith, but they died in faith as well." As we pray and we examine our hearts and we get ready to celebrate what the Lord has done for us, I want to invite our deacons to come now and let's pray this morning. Search our heart, O Lord. God, may this word that is so timely for our church family, God, may you speak it to us now. God, thank you for what you have done in the life of Calvary people down through the years. Thank you for what you've done in the history of your church down through the years. God, thank you for that life of faith and witness that has been lived before us. And Lord, we ask you today that you would do that in us. That God, you would allow us to so dwell in your presence that we can know what it's like to be encouraged, that you're not through with us. Whether there's someone in this room in their 90s or someone in this room that is 7 or 8 or 9 years old, God, will you help us to know that, Lord, you encourage us that for the believer who's in Christ, each day is better than the one before. God, thank you for your consistent presence in our life. God, I pray you'll not only encourage us, but God, discipline us as we need it. Correct us, Lord. Those deep areas, recesses of our heart that, Lord, we don't want to go to, we very seldom want to deal with. God, I pray that you would deal with those areas of our life, that, Lord, we would not profane that which is holy. That, God, we would not live in prideful arrogance. Lord, we would not live in anger or hostility. But, Lord, that you would surface that in our lives, and then as you do, Lord, you would pluck it out and cleanse us. Lord, I pray you'll equip us. Lord, I pray that every man and woman in this room today, that you will give them strength until you're ready for them to step into eternity, and that, God, you will give them strength to love you like they've never loved you before, serve you like they've never served you before, and, God, that you will give them the health and strength, the spiritual intimacy, God, everything that's required just to be equipped to serve you. And then, Lord, we pray that we will embrace the generations that are coming after us, that we will look at those men and women and those boys and girls and those teenage men and women, and, God, we will recognize a stewardship that comes and being a gospel follower, a follower of Christ, that, Lord, we want to share that gospel, and we want to equip, and, Lord, we want to pass on that, Lord, one day that when it's time for you to replace us, there are just others who are waiting in the wings and saying, I am ready. I'm ready to serve now. Oh, God, will you bring that to pass in our life? Examine our hearts. Lord, we celebrate what you've done through the cross and the resurrection. Thank you for offering your body. And God, thank you for shedding your blood for our sins. And I ask all of these things in Jesus' name. And you all said, Amen.